Beast High.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3 senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And I'm Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 72 of High School Musical 3 senior year.
Wow.
Minute 72 starts out with a cut to the auditorium and ends with Troy looking out into his backyard.
Cut to the auditorium. This is my last resort.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's just riff. Anyway, no. Yeah, good transition, as we talked about in the last minute. Like, we get like a quarter of a second of Gabriella's face.
Yeah, I'm not counting that. She was the last minute.
But yeah, we're resetting. We're scooching back into the musical vibe of, well, not the musical vibe in the sense that a song is starting, but the part of the story that is about the students at East High School putting on a musical that's about their lives.
Indeed.
And then, okay. So Miss Darbus is walking down the aisle saying, well, because Miss Montez is no longer available to us.
As some of you know,
yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciated that because there were a lot of, like, what kind of what? Reactions? And I was like, so, like, maybe two of you knew.
I like when you say, like, I'm a teacher, so I get this sometimes. Like, when you say something, like, surprising or unexpected to a room, and literally all you hear is go the, sounds for, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah. Teens are funny.
So, yeah, you tell them that they have a test coming up. They'll be very confused. I told you about it, but whatever. Okay. But, yeah, it's not like there's an uproar. It's just more like, well, here's another thing that we got to add to the work.
Yeah, but they've already got plans in play because they do have understudies, at least.
Did you notice how Troy is sitting in the front row? And I was wondering,
all by himself in dark clothes.
Is this, like, an intentional choice on his part of being like, well, I'm like the star. I'm like the leader. Everybody expects something from me. So let me put myself front and center. I want to make it look like I'm here, ready to try, ready to prepare. Or is it just because he's the main character and we want to be able to see him in the shot right away?
Or he's feeling lonely and knows no one else is going to sit in the very front. So he intentionally put himself in a spot not a lot of folks will sit in, so he can be sad by himself in his dark clothes.
It's lonely at the top.
Yeah. Well, no, he's just sad about Gabriella.
Yeah, fair enough. I think he wanted to put himself front and center so that people would be like, Troy is still here. He's still on board. He's not gone.
He's still a basketball boy and a musical boy.
Well, he's not going to squirt out on us just because Gabriella's gone.
Yeah. He's faithful to his team.
And, you know, he knows he looks hot brooding. He's like, I'm in my sad era. He's like Anakin Skywalker. You're right. He wears the dark clothes so that we know he's about to turn to the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone murmurs, and then Miss Darbus lays out the plan.
Sharpay's got Gabriella's role.
Well, she just says she's got Gabriella's song.
Duet,
so
yeah.
I guess that's shorthand for, like, Gabriella's role. Is this show like a review or like a sort of segmented thing with like different parts where some people are just on for one section of the show and then once that song's over, they're not really in it anymore?
Well, no, because like Gabriella is seen, well, she at least has two songs because she's got the prom song and she's got the Gabriella Troy duet. So, and then presumably there's like a we're all in this together style one at the end. That's like the everyone coming together to sing. I actually know the answer to that one, so I can't, like, I'm speculating.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if you were to see this play in real life, would it string together at all? Like, even if it thought it had a plot that went from A to B to C, does it really, like, if it's not a review like a Cats or a
Nutcracker.
What's another good? What?
Nutcracker.
Well, Nutcracker's a ballet, so that's kind of a different type of thing. I'm trying to think of the other, like another classic review style show. But most of them have at least nominal plots.
Yeah.
Like Chicago is like,
I was thinking Chicago too.
Set up like a review where it's like, okay, we're going to get like a bunch of different types of numbers, but there is at least something to thread it together in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of vignettes maybe. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like there's people who are the star of one particular vignette, but you know, they're ensemble characters in the other vignettes of the story. And then if there's like an ensemble number, then that's where you kind of get all of the individual people together at once. And that's what the prom number probably is.
Yeah, I could see that happening where it would give Sharpay a like Kelsey would write it. So Sharpay still has her moment that Gabriella and Troy have their fulfilling song.
I guess there probably is a movie out there that does this really literally. But like the idea of a movie with like a bunch of individual vignettes that really don't cross paths until like the one big event at the end where like everything comes together. It's a little bit, well, the relatively newer movie Dumb Money with Paul Dano.
Okay.
Does the opposite of this where all of the characters never really meet, but they're all like sort of interacting with the same central internet based cryptocurrency plot.
I feel like that's a thing in books where you can be following multiple storylines and they'll all converge. I just read a teen nonfiction recently that was exploring the lives of two people that knew each other at the beginning and then got massively separated and then they came back at the very end together.
I feel like that's what happens more often than, you know, like complete strangers and then they finally meet in an Avengers style event.
I guess the Avengers would count for that.
I guess it's more of a TV thing. Like Game of Thrones was kind of famous for this, where it's like all of these characters are off in their own plots and some of them have one conversation between the two of them in the whole 8 seasons of the show because they're leading such disparate lives.
Okay, there's a fandom similarly. I remember there being a ship back when I was like super Who locked that the main characters, like the two characters that everyone shipped, never actually met. Like they were never on screen together. They were never canonically. And I'm trying to desperately remember.
I mean, this could be any number of characters. Is it from one?
No, but it was like from one property where they never met, and it was like a. It might have been Harry Potter, even, to be honest. That people paired people from Harry Potter that never actually were from the same timeline. I don't remember. Maybe if someone's like, oh, if this is hitting someone when that was also super Who locked in the early 2010s, and they're like, yes, it was this fandom and these two characters, please let me know via our email or Instagram, or Tyler checks Tumblr and could tell me.
To be honest, they would let you know over Tumblr.
Yes, no, that's why.
I don't know why you said the other social media
because
and email.
I still am not confident on Tumblr.
There's got to be a Shakespeare or something that is more on this path. But anyway, my brain's not in thinking mode right now. My brain's in talking mode, and I can't talk myself into remembering things.
So Sharpay is like, yep, we got this, folks. We're professionals. And I'm like, no.
You're literally not. You're literally amateurs. You're
not,
in high school. And not only are you in high school, everyone involved in this play
has never done a play before.
Is like a volunteer that Troy and the gang like talked into joining. It's not like it's the cast of the previous year's musicale with like a couple new people. It's mostly green bodies on stage here.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just very weird for Sharpay to say that. She kind of matches Troy. She is also wearing dark colors, although she's got gold accents.
Yeah, she also says, let's do it for Gabriella. Because Gabriella famously died in that fire of that church they were hiding out in.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, she's trying to play like she actually has been nice to Gabriella this whole time, and everyone knows. Like, Sharpay, shut up. You're still making it all about you.
I know Condor knew the reference, but I do need to say that was The Outsiders. I hope I got that one right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It was a church they were hiding in.
Yeah.
We also neglected to comment on Tiara Gold's line about her filling in for Sharpay's role.
It's impossible to fill her sparkly shoes.
Yes, those sparkling shoes will be impossible to fill.
Which is a great way for... I just thought that was so smooth of Tiara. She's very good at handling Sharpay in a placating kind of way.
It's also interesting because, like, we have kind of, in the background of the movie, seen her become slightly more independent. And, like, the writing's on the wall for, like, oh, she just took that job to mess with Sharpay. She's not even sitting with Sharpay right now. She's sitting with Martha.
Yeah. She's kind of wild.
She's kind of letting her responsibilities slack. She's like, Sharpay knows that I was just keeping my enemies close.
I mean, she probably doesn't. Because it's Sharpay. But, like, everyone else knows.
Sharpay implies that Tiara Gold can shape up her singing and performance ability to fill those shoes by volunteering Kelsey to work with her.
Yeah, I really appreciate Ashley Tisdale's delivery of this line, because she's talking to Tiara and then in the middle of it calls for Kelsey. Like, she's like, normal, 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 Kelsey, normal, normal, normal. Like,
normal, 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 normal.
I don't remember what she actually says, but
there's a great part in Merrily We Roll Along where someone mimics someone else talking on the phone and they go, mutter, 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 yes, Jerome, mutter, 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 no, Jerome.
But you get the sentiment.
Saying normal is very funny.
But, like, it's at that same, like, she's just, like, generally addressing the room and Tiara, but then turns to summoning Kelsey. And we get a quick pan over to Kelsey, and she's with Ryan, and Kelsey's got a look on here.
Yeah, it's kind of classic Kelsey, but it's also, it's maybe, like, the most Kelsey we've ever gotten.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, girl. Normally, I always support Kelsey 100%, but, like, she's testing something here. She got a special trip to the thrift store recently and is trying out an outfit.
How would one summon Kelsey? I guess you need, like, a pentagram, and the 5 points are, like,
a piano.
The script to Sweeney Todd, a piano.
I feel like a strong tea drink.
A strong tea, denim jacket.
A nice and pen.
A quill.
Yeah, like something quirky.
And then you you have to do the incantation of, I was going to go with another Sondheim thing.
I was like the intro to Sweeney Todd.
Well, we already did this. We already
I know,
the,
that's why. So
script.
I was like, nope.
So I guess, or is it just, you know, a more Disney-esque, like, musical thing?
Or like a da-na-na-na-na-na-na, because she gives off Vanessa Carlton energy.
Oh, that's what da-na-na-na-na-na meant.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking, like, is there a song from, like, Hercules or Mulan? Or, like, what's the song that would, like, embody Kelsey that if you needed to just sing it? Or would it just be one of the songs that she wrote from a previous movie?
I mean, that could be it.
You just say, it's hard to believe that I couldn't sneeze. And then she goes, actually, it's C.
Yeah.
And then she appears.
Yeah. I think that's
okay.
It.
Fair. All right. Well, now you know the summoning spell for getting Kelsey. So you can do that in your D&D campaigns.
Have fun. She may bring some chaos. But she does look cute, and Ryan's got, I don't know if you noticed Ryan, he's got his plaid pants, but he's got high boots.
Oh boy.
I think that's from that pirate play that they put on.
I think it's from when he was in the Beatles. He was like a 60s rocker type.
With high...
Or was he a mod? I don't know.
With high boots?
I don't, like, the Beatles wore, like,
they wore
like
nice
elevated
shoes. I thought they were like loafers.
Go back, look up old pictures of short Paul McCartney. He's got these like these lifted shoes on.
Okay. He's our short king?
Yes. And I'm sure Ringo did it too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Kelsey then also sort of appears by Troy at the front because Darbus is kind of splitting them up. She says, there are sets to paint and you need to drill that second number. So Kelsey kind of grabs Troy by the hand and very cutely goes like, I'll be your friend now that your girlfriend's gone.
Yeah, she like wraps her arm around his waist and he like nuzzles the top of her head. Like, this is a relationship.
Yep, we ship it. Thruple, Kelsey, Gabriella, and Troy.
I mean, we've talked about it before.
I mean, if Gabriella like wasn't there for prom,
I could totally see Troy going with Kelsey. That makes sense.
But she's already going with Ryan.
Yeah. But I could see the three of them going as a little friend group, and that'd be real cute.
Yeah, who's Troy going to go with? Yeah, I guess that's an interesting question if Gabriella wasn't there. I guess she will be back for prom.
She should be back for prom.
She should be. Oh, boy. You're giving me some foreboding foreshadowing.
No, she said that she should be back for prom and graduation.
Are there still sets to paint? It looks like they just have the entire stage set up already.
Yeah, when I was like, Miss Darbus, what are you
Darb.
Darb. If the musicale is happening right now, like, why are there still sets? Like, because we still don't know when we are.
It could be like,
we have no idea.
It could be like a background. Like, that's not a set per se. There's a specific theater term for like the sort of changeable backgrounds of a set that they would have used in like Shakespearean times.
Like drops?
I think it's just called a scene.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe it's just something that's not like
urgent
or something they've added recently. Like, you're always making last minute changes and improvements.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, the overall timing thing, which you're mentioning here is like, okay, Gabriella had this whole, like, I'm not sure if I'm going to stay for the musical or go to the Stanford thing. And then now it seems like she's gone. Like, she's not here.
Yeah.
Like, she's already left. And this is like the week of the play.
Like, is it tech week?
Or is Gabriella like, yeah, I'm not going to be in the play anymore, so I'm not going to show up to today's rehearsal anymore.
Which is fair to then prioritize the changes that need to happen and the new, like, the rehearsals, the restructuring of rehearsal, but also...
But if I was writing that scene in the movie, I would have Gabriella announce to everybody.
Yeah.
And then I would have Sharpay come up and say, that's okay, I'll fill your shoes. Let's all do it for Gabriella. And then her, like, put her arm around Gabriella's shoulder and, like, kind of snarkily be like... Don't worry, we'll be fine without you. Like,
yeah.
So I think she's just gone.
Which is a little confusing, but it's fine. We'll get there, I guess. We're going to figure this out one way or another.
Yeah, speaking of figuring things out, Troy's at home at night. He grabs a cookie off of the counter and looks out the window at
dark. Why is he just in a dark kitchen and he's just like, oh, there's a cookie on the counter, let me just eat it. And it's a crunchy cookie too, which I respect people that like crunchy cookies, but they're not my favorite.
I mean, it might be just be that the cookie's like a day or two old.
It's
and
been
so
sitting
like,
out on the counter for multiple days.
It's got a little bit more of a crunch factor. It's fine. You can eat it. You can eat a day old cookie.
Yeah, but just like it's just sitting there on the counter. Why?
I mean...
And he walks into a dark kitchen. It seems weird.
You're walking alone through the kitchen when on the counter you see a plate, an empty plate, with one cookie in the center. It appears to be chocolate chip. Do you eat the cookie or do you move on with your life? Turn to page 60 if you eat the cookie. Turn to page 112 if you move on to your life.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know. I just judge Troy a little here because there's two cookies on a napkin. It's not on a plate. They're like basically
maybe
on the
counter. Mom left them out for him. Maybe his dad left them out for him. Maybe he left them out for himself. Maybe he like
knew he
bought them from the store, had to go pee, and then like is coming back into the room.
I was getting the vibe that he's coming home from rehearsal.
It truly could not matter.
I need to know where these cookies came from. It is important to me. They are cookies and they are important.
Investigative journalism. Where did the cookies come from?
Every cookie is important.
Everybody's asked who stole the cookie from the cookie jar, but nobody asks who put the cookie in the cookie jar.
Exactly.
Today we dig into one of nursery rhyme's greatest mysteries. It's not a nursery rhyme.
It's not a nursery rhyme. Well, Troy starts looking very intently out the back window, but nothing happens yet, so we'll find out why he's so intent on the back window.
I think he's seeing a Dr. Evil rocket that's shaped in a certain way, and he's going to make like a comment about what it looks like that cuts off right before he says a slightly risque word.
Ooh. Or is it Gabriella holding a sign that says, pretend it's carolers?
Or is it John Cusack holding a boombox? We just haven't heard the music yet.
Is it Chad standing in the back, standing on underneath the basketball hoop being like, will you play with me?
Well, you made it sound creepy. It sounded like he was a horror movie little girl.
Exactly. We don't know if we like Chad right now or not. It's very unclear.
We like Chad. We just had a whole song about how the boys were back.
But they also had an uncomfortable dinner in which Troy looked uncertain.
But that wasn't with relation to Chad that he was uncertain. His relationship with Chad is fine. It's his relationship with his parents that's on the fritz, apparently. And that's why Mr. / Mrs. Bolton made Troy cookies to try to appease him.
Calm the raging beast. Give him cookies.
So true.
Everyone knows the secret to Jack-Jack is just cookie num-num.
Oh, is that an Incredibles 2 reference?
It is.
Wow.
I'm going to the parks next week. Or by the time this comes out, I'll have just been in the parks.
All right. Should we move to our DCOM segment?
Sure.
I mean, I don't have anything else to say about the minute.
It was a very talky minute. We've had a lot of music lately, and it was very talky.
It was actually just like a normal scene where it's like, okay, like three or four things happen in the minute, and then we talk about them.
Yeah, it was nice.
Some of them with too much detail, but, you know, we got to make the episodes 40 minutes long, I guess.
That's us for you.
So, cue the music. We're in the DCOM segment, and Condra, I think I guess this is in the genre of here's 10 minutes on the timer, let's talk about it.
My favorite.
But I guess there's two options.
Oh, no.
So I want you to think about if you would want this to be High School Musical specific or DCOM specific, but probably having like a large presence of High School Musical. I want to make a museum exhibit.
Ooh.
And so I guess we'll just like throw out ideas for like what would be in the museum exhibit. But do you want it to be just High School Musical or all DCOMs?
Well, funny you should ask. When I went to the Disney 100 exhibit last year, they had a section that was for the Disney Channel of their multi-floor exhibit. And in the Disney Channel section, there was a whole section of the section devoted to High School Musical. So I have seen it done both ways. So it depends on what you want to talk about.
I mean, yeah, we're not talking about like a section of the museum. We're talking about like an exhibit. Like maybe this would be like a special exhibit that would arrive at like the Broadway Museum, like if it was just High School Musical, which obviously wouldn't be appropriate for that museum.
No, but,
like,
but what I'm saying is I've seen it's possible to do either. So it's kind of up to you which direction we want to go.
I guess let's just do High School Musical.
Okay. So.
So it's High School Musical, the exhibit.
High School Musical, the musical, the exhibit. No. High School Musical.
Well, that would be exhibit. If it was the show, I guess.
Yeah. But I think you could incorporate that, High School Musical, The Exhibit. And I think you could have either four distinct sections or, like, there's a few ways you could scaffold this. You could do it with your, like, you could do it chronologically, where it explores pre-production, production, the release of them, fan culture, their presence elsewhere, like ice skating and parades and the like, and then eventually to the show. Or you could do it where each movie has their own section, or if it's just like happy 20th anniversary to High School Musical 1 and it's just on the first High School Musical with like a little end of the exhibit being the aftermath or like the subsequent. I feel like that wouldn't be as fulfilling because you do have so much content to play with. That you could do a multifaceted, like, exploring costuming throughout the franchise and exploring, like, having images of the set at the high school they shot at. And
I do see it as more of a thematic thing like that, where it's like, here's where the costumes are, and here's where, like, the props and the set pieces are. Here's where we, like, explore the acting and the singing of it all.
Yeah, have like a section that has headphones where you can listen to some of the rehearsal tapes and like videos of some of the behind the scene choreography sessions.
Does that make sense though? Because I think doing it like High School Musical 1, then High School Musical 2, then High School Musical 3, like feels a little underwhelming slash I just don't think that that would be how they would do it.
No, it wouldn't be. It would likely be thematic by stages of production slash major division. Like you could have a whole, like you could have their lockers, like a recreation of their lockers with one open to like see the picture of Gabriella in Troy's locker or Sharpay's double locker.
I guess, you know, the organization of the exhibit might be interesting to you or me, but what are the highlights of the exhibit that we're going to see?
See, part of it too, Tyler, is I don't want to spoil the end of the movie in the franchise, and I've also never seen the show. So, putting that aside, like, avoiding that stuff, I think having Troy's jersey would be something that people would look forward to. The costumes of, like, Breakin' Free.
Okay.
The sparkly ladder from Bop to the Top might be something. Or the piano from Fabulous.
That would be good. I think, yeah, Troy and Ryan's outfits might function as centerpieces. I want to see, like, Miss Darbus's outfits, like, put onto a mannequin. Like, that seems fun.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Or even, like, Kelsey's outfit to see the layering and the textures of her outfits.
Some of Chad's t-shirts.
Like maybe some of the sheet music that Kelsey scribbled on, quote unquote, and like have her notes for like the second movie.
So what about stick to the status quo? It feels like there should be like a cafeteria.
Or maybe some of the banners or like some of the table props, like have a table with some of the props on it, like the lunch tray and the lob, like and the textbooks.
The nerdy textbooks.
Yeah. Or like the cello. What about,
can we get Sharpay's shirt that has like cheese fries all over it?
No. I could see like having a section for color palettes. That was something that I enjoyed in the Disney 100 exhibit was they had like color swatches where it was like for this movie, we went with these tones and these colors. And like, so because each character is going to have like an inspo board.
Yeah, I think like within the costume section, it would be a good idea to have like, this is like a High School Musical 1. Like we did a lot of reds, but Troy also wears like blue and there's something there. And then High School Musical 2, it's like, oh, I see how in the High School Musical 2 costumes, there's like a whole different palette of colors.
Or not just like the overall movie colors, but like for the individual characters, like Sharpay has really bright popping colors where Gabriella has similar colors, but they're toned down.
Yes, Taylor's outfits would be cool to see too.
Mm-hmm. I think some wigs might be interesting as well.
Yeah, I don't know how many characters actually wore wigs or if they just abused their hair.
A little bit of both, I'm sure.
Props also might include, like, a basketball.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any, like, rapping, like, when they rapped, if they all signed something or if they have, like, a poster from High School Musical, the concert, like, a tour poster or something. Or,
that would be fun, yeah.
Or, like, from the ice skating show, if they have, like, some of, like, the on-ice costumes.
I want to see the big moon from Breaking Free.
Mm, yeah. I feel like that'd be, like, a photo op kind of thing. Like, they'd have the moon. Or they have, like, the waterfall from High School Musical 2 in the background. Like, not, like, an image of it kind of thing. Like, where people could pose.
Yeah.
Or even, like, the front of the school.
Yeah, something like that. I want to see Ryan's, like, little stand hut from Humu Humu with all the little, like, mini instruments he's playing.
Yeah. His, like, DJ board.
And the fog machine.
The cursed scene.
I want Humu Humu, the exhibit. I just want that whole room laid out with the little, like, throne rock seat that Troy's in.
I don't know about that, but I think it'd be fun, too, to have some, like, talking heads of, like, scene.
You should get David Byrne and Tina Weymouth in there. Sorry, no, you say what you were going to say.
Listeners at home, I'm tired. Does someone want to take my job? Like, reminiscing or behind the scenes that were shot when they were filming kind of thing, like to have some video video explanations of either decisions made or inspiration. Like, I would love to hear a little bit of how we got from Grease to here.
Yeah, a little bit of the production story, like early versions of the script could be interesting. Condra, I've got a tour highlight here for the exhibition.
Yes.
Gotta be a cutout of Miley Cyrus from the end of High School Musical 2. Just like a standing cutout of her. Be like, remember when we got Miley Cyrus in the movie for half a second?
But I think, no, maybe like in addition to that, talking about the fan culture and like all of like online contests to vote on which Disney Channel star. Like, that could be its own thing. There's a contest associated with this film that we'll get to at the end of the movie, that talking about that a little, just general fan culture. Like, there was so much merchandise put out for these movies. Heck, I have a yearbook from this movie. There's a lot.
I think the tricky thing with an exhibit like this, and I think a lot of museums run into this, is like, if you want like a little booth where you like sit down and put on headphones, or like you want like a little room where they like show a behind the scenes clip of the movie, like that is part of something that you want, but that's kind of like the hardest thing to get people to engage with. / it's either like one at a time people have to use it, or you have to like spend 15 minutes like sitting in a dark room behind a curtain and like maybe people watch a little video for like 2 minutes, but they're not going to stay for the whole 6 minutes of the movie. Like, I'm sure this is something that you've thought about more than I have.
Yeah, I think
people just want to take pictures of the costumes.
Well, yeah, but also like, I know when I'm going to keep using the Disney 100 as an example, because I they're very similar in nature, or that I could talk about the Harry Potter one or the Star Wars one, but having those talking heads of how they use the objects that were being shown, or like, oh, it was used in this scene, and just have like a repeating clip with captions that are on the screen. So there's no audio, or there's a much better technology now of like, not, they're like cones of silence, but they're cones of noise where they contain the sound pretty well.
Well, I suppose it's a cone of silence for everybody outside of the cone.
Exactly.
Then inside of the cone, you're in it, which is what the cone of silence is.
So, like, I stood, and there were, in the Disney 100, there were a bunch of different instruments used to make very iconic sounds in past Disney films, like the wallet that was used to make the squeaky footsteps of the Seven Dwarves, or the little whistle that was used for Tinkerbell's like chimes kind of thing, like, or Steamboat Willie's whistle kind of thing. So, and they had the object, and then they had a little video clip next to it showing the sound productions using these objects to make these noises, or the clips in which they were used. So there's ways to do it that, like, someone doesn't necessarily have to see the video to understand the the item. Or there's, like, honestly, one of the most popular areas of the Disney 100 the day I was there was a giant music wall that you could put on headphones and pick whatever song you wanted to listen to, and, like, getting that option. I think, especially with something like High School Musical, there are people that are going to want to linger. But as long as, so it, and this is the case for any museum exhibit, you're going to have the folks that are already familiar with the topic. You're going to have folks that have know nothing about it. And you have to hit this wide range. So if you have little tidbits and goodies for the folks that already know a lot, but also someone who's just kind of blitzing through it, they can get a, like, oh, I got to see a cool costume and got a photo op kind of thing. Like,
I think you're right when, like, the videos and audio, like, cues are, like, more incorporated with the flow of the movement of the exhibit. Like, if it's a little booth that you have to go into, that sucks. But if it's just, like, a video that's playing next to a prop, and if you're within 3 feet of it, you can kind of pretty much hear what the video is saying, but it's not, like, so loud that everyone in the room can hear it. Like, mm-hmm. That works.
I will say there are times for the booths, and I think those are the opt-in moments that you want. I'm thinking there's a series of booths at completely different here. The American Memorial and Museum of the Holocaust in Washington, D.C. And they have a series of booths where people can listen to oral histories of survivors and surviving family members of those lost during the Holocaust, and having those opt-in opportunities where this is a really hard thing to, you really need to say act like an active yes to participating in this content. And not that High School
Musical. What would that be in the High School Musical exhibit?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing really, but unless someone was like, oh, here's a breakdown from Kenny Ortega on how we choreographed We're All in This Together, considering all of these elements, like a hyper-focused concept that choreographers play, like people that are into musicals, like in the logistical side of it, they're going to be the ones interested in this. But for an overview exhibit, like a High School Musical, the exhibit, that's not really like what they'd be going for. That's not the intent of the exhibit. So that kind of thing would be inappropriate.
Well, in our imaginary version of the exhibit, we can make it a good one.
Well, that's why. It's like, I don't think I would include something like that in an overview exhibit of the High School Musical franchise, because it doesn't overall match the tone or the intent of a popular exhibit.
But the intent can be, if we want it to be, hey, it's accessible to those who just want a breezy, fun experience, but it also, like, has deeper insights for those who want to clock in.
I think those deeper insights nowadays with museums work best as companion audio guides or additional materials on the website that you can, like, scan a QR code and explore more, or, like, sit at a screen and tap into. Like, it's something you really have to opt into.
Okay, I think we agree. I think the final piece needs to be like some sort of like thing that museums try to do, which is like you make a little video and then there's like a green screen, but maybe like a bigger version of it to see if this works, where like you have someone like teaching the We're All In This Together dance, like to like little groups, like 5 minutes at a time. And that's kind of like the ending of the exhibit. And you can just walk by it and be like, okay, I don't want to do that. But then, like, there is, like, a little spot for a group of 40 people to stand and, like, learn the dance and then get, like, a little video of it with, like, a green screen, maybe.
I think what would be cute instead of that would be yearbook photos.
Okay. And that's what you buy on the way out. Yeah. You get a picture with the with sort the of East graduation high. Cap.
Or like you're like doing the pose at the golf resort or.
All right. And then you can pay for something on the way out. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that was a conversation about that.
Thank you. That was fun.
Great. Well, we got like 45 more minutes of this movie to talk about. So we're going to keep on trucking along.
Keep on. Wait, that's a Brady Bunch.
Coupon?
Sure.
Well, if you want 20% off of your next episode of High School Musical, where can you find us on the internet?
Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
Or on Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
Yeah, 20% off of free.
That just means the next episode's going to be shorter.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know what part of this episode you would cut.
And why it's me.
No, it's not you. You actually knew what you were talking about the museum.
I only have a master's degree in it. Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out what Troy's looking out in that window. You can bet on it.